Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. You know, when I was a kid, I had no idea where champagne was, except as a little boy growing up in Texas, I would always receive a brown wrapped package from Champaign, Illinois, every Christmas and on my birthday. These gifts came from my father's older brother, Orville, and his wife, Helen. My Aunt Helen and Uncle Orville lived in Champaign, Illinois, where he was a professor, and our family never visited them in Champaign because, as we all know, Texans very rarely venture outside of Texas. But this particular aunt and uncle would occasionally visit us, and Aunt Helen would always send a gift. As a young boy, I have to tell you, I was not very enthused about Helen's selection of gifts. They were very predictable and probably better suited for an adult. But every Christmas, like clockwork, I always received the very same gift. 3 white handkerchiefs from my aunt and uncle, and then on my birthday, a black fin tie. These gifts never varied from the time I was age 4 through high school. And again, I have to confess, I had very little appreciation for the gifts my Aunt Helen sent. In fact, I remember as I got older, my mother would kind of have to chase me around to get me to open the gift, because I already knew what it was. And it was even harder to get me to write a thank you. So I look back now, it's just too bad that Aunt Helen didn't send me some Fighting Illini apparel. I could have gotten an early start on becoming a fan. Anyway, I mention this episode out of my childhood out of concern that we may grow to find ourselves having the same lack of appreciation for the gifts that God gives. After all, like my Aunt Helen's gifts, God's gifts may not seem all that useful to us. After all, they are very predictable. We have seen them before. Every Sunday, God gives us the same gifts, doesn't he? He gives us his word, and he gives us his sacraments. And it's easy to grow tired of what we are familiar with over time and to forget its true value. Sin can do that. It can cause us to forget so easily why these gifts are to be treasured. Perhaps we have a little better appreciation for the word preached and for the Lord's Supper that we receive at this altar because these gifts come to us in the present. We repeatedly make use of these gifts every Sunday and on every holy day. But what about baptism? We receive baptism only once in the past. Baptism seems to stay in the past like that gift we've forgotten about and put up somewhere in the back of our closet. I received baptism as an infant, even before I can remember receiving those tithes from Aunt Helen. And so how can I really appreciate a gift that I received so long ago? In fact, how can any of us be overjoyed by our baptism if we know nothing about its ongoing blessing, if we're never taught about its benefit to our Christian lives? Many of you, no doubt, receive new clothes at Christmas, and especially if you're a woman or a young girl, maybe you're very happy with those clothes, proud to wear them in public, and if you're like my daughters, you've probably been in your closet lately taking inventory of what you now have to wear since you've received these new clothes for Christmas. Well, in a similar vein, I would like us to take a spiritual inventory of what baptism is and what baptism gives and what baptism does. Here's just a brief list of what baptism is all about. To begin with, we'll start with the fact, something we all know, baptism washes away sins. But it also connects us to Christ. Baptism brings the Holy Spirit into our hearts to dwell by faith. Baptism delivers from death and the devil. Baptism adopts us into the family of our Heavenly Father so that we inherit heaven. Baptism is what causes us and motivates us to die to sin and to live for God. Baptism reorients our thinking as we begin to live a new life in Christ. And baptism clothes us with the righteousness of Christ so that we can stand before God without any kind of moral stain or spot or sin to worry about. And the Bible also says simply, baptism now saves us. Now, after learning all this, you may wonder why a gift that gives so much is given such little attention in our lives. Why is this gift of baptism just sitting left unused in the back of our consciousness? Why is baptism hanging in the back of our spiritual closet, so to speak, where we never think to put it on? For just a moment then, this morning, I would like for us to rediscover the beauty of this spiritual garment that we call holy baptism, so that we will wear it every day and even boast of it in Christ. Today, as Pastor Wright already mentioned, I am very excited to be able to share with my new brother in Christ God's gift of baptism. Barry Walker and Miss Lisa Gay, who will be baptized later today in a private service, attended my adult instruction class where we have spoken much of the gift of baptism. And God has worked in their hearts. I've seen it. He has created in them a desire for baptism. And for Barry, baptism is about to become in a few moments a very present and living reality in his life, as water combined with God's word will be poured out on him so that God will be lavishing him with his grace. On the occasion of this happy event, I thought it was a good time to renew what baptism is, to review that, and to renew our relationship to God through our own baptism. Baptism is premised on our need for forgiveness. As sinners, we always have to keep in mind that we could never reach God. For as sinners, each one of us, and I include myself, we are forever falling short of God's holy intention for our lives. And this, my friends, as you well know, is true no matter how hard we try. And so the good news is that since none of us could reach heaven, heaven reached down to us when God in love sent his Son into the world to be our Savior. On the day of his baptism, Jesus stepped forward to live a perfect life, a life that God now credits to you and to me through our baptism. It's obvious that Jesus was doing this for us because he had no need to be baptized. Baptism is for sinners, and Jesus never sinned. And yet Jesus would submit to baptism on the day of his baptism, just as he submitted to every command of God on our behalf, as an obedient son, living under all the laws that God had made for men. Jesus found himself living on behalf of every one of us, whether we're a man, a woman, or a child. By obeying the law, Jesus would transfer his holy and righteous life to us, even as God would transfer our sins and transgressions onto Jesus while he hung on the cross. And so a great exchange took place in which Jesus was made our sins and we became his righteousness. He took our sinfulness upon himself, and in exchange, we receive his innocence so that we may stand unashamed and unafraid in God's sight. But how does this transfer of our sins onto Christ and his righteousness back onto us, how does that occur in our lives? How do we come into possession of Jesus' blood and righteousness? Well, the Bible says it this way. It says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." You see, God works faith and forgiveness through our baptism. Baptism brings the cross into our lives. Baptism is not some kind of spiritual substitute for Christ, like equal is for sugar. Nor is baptism some kind of idol that we Lutherans have erected to distract people from having faith in Jesus. No! Baptism is Christ. By that I mean, baptism is that means God has chosen to bring the work of Jesus to our lives, to incorporate us into his death, his saving death, and his resurrection. And so, as baptized believers, God intertwines us so that our lives are inseparably connected to Christ, so that we belong to Christ and all that he has achieved by his atoning death and resurrection belong to us. In our baptism, we died with Christ. In our baptism, we are raised with Christ. In our baptism, we are now clothed with Christ. In fact, baptism is that white robe of Christ's perfect innocence that surrounds us and covers us so that you and I can stand at any time holy and blameless in God's sight, in love and without fear. It's exciting to have an adult being baptized today, but no matter whether you and I were baptized as infants or adults, it really doesn't matter. What does matter is that you and I remember to use our baptismal forgiveness daily. We should wear our baptism out and not leave it hanging in the back of our closets, for it is a precious spiritual garment. In fact, baptism is our greatest article of clothing. It is the clothing of Christ. It is the clothing that we will wear at the wedding feast with the Lamb in his kingdom. I'll give you an illustration. When my oldest daughter, Christy, was engaged, which wasn't that long ago, she took me with her to the wedding store where she had been trying on wedding dresses. Now, she had already found the dress she wanted, and she was having it held for her. At the time, she was living in Columbus, Ohio, And I happened to be out there, and she wanted Daddy to see it, i.e., buy it. When she put that dress on, I have to say, though, that she became radiant. In fact, I have never before seen anyone whose disposition changed so much as my daughter's did when she put on that dress that day. She wore that dress around the shop for about 45 minutes, and finally the saleswoman and I tried our best to coax her out of it. But Christy just wanted to walk around in it. She wanted to look in the mirror and twirl. It was pretty cute the way she embraced that dress. In fact, the saleswoman and I joked that even though the wedding was months away, we might just have to let her stay in it and wear it. But my friends, that is the way we want to live in our baptismal garb. We want to live in the joy and the confidence of being baptized into Christ. We want to stay in that wedding garment of baptism every day. For that white garment is the one we will wear when we are presented to God as the bride of Christ on the last day. When Jesus came up out of the waters of the Jordan River on the day of his own baptism, you'll remember there was a voice from heaven. And it said, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And I can tell you just as confidently, though you may never hear the words audibly, that when you are baptized into Christ, you will now hear the same approving words spoken over you by your Father in heaven. For to all of us who have been baptized in Christ and who believe in baptism's power and promises, we too will hear God say to us, "You are my son, and you are my daughter, and with you I am well pleased." And we don't have to wait until the last day for that divine approval. But that expression of God's love, that acceptance is for each of us right now, already in this life, if we believe in Jesus and if we belong to him in baptism. I was reading an article yesterday about the United States military. They've done a study of 93 Marine fatalities in Iraq, and they found that 74 of those deaths might have been preventable had they had body armor, the body armor they were wearing, had it been extended further around their torso and over their shoulders. Now, some soldiers in Iraq are happy to hear the news that that armor is going to be added. But there are some others, I think there are Army Airborne Ranger units deployed, who are concerned that that armor will limit their mobility in combat. They would rather not be burdened with additional armor. And you know, that kind of reminded me of baptism. Not everyone these days wants to live in the spiritual armor of their baptism, even though it can protect us from eternal death and the devil. Some find living in the newness of life as a baptized Christian too restrictive, because baptism, along with forgiving us, also calls us to die to sin and to live for God each day of our lives. And so there are many who would rather take their chances, forgetting to wear this forgiveness offered by baptism. But my friends, baptism is like spiritual body armor. Living in the repentance and forgiveness that baptism offers us in Christ preserves our spiritual lives. It protects us from the devil and his awful accusations that are intended to destroy our confidence to stand before God unashamed. Getting back to the gifts that my Aunt Helen sent. When I was a child, like most children, I never liked ties for Christmas. I liked toys. But you know, now that I've grown up, I have to say I love it when friends and family members do give me ties for my birthday or for Christmas. And so my perspective has changed. Just this Christmas, my son Paul and my daughter-in-law Krista presented me with a very special tie, a tie I'm so proud of, I would like to show it to you. Now, this tie, Paul and Krista, while living in England, they made a trip to Edinburgh, Scotland, the ancestral home, supposedly, of the Elliot clan. Paul discovered this was our family tartan. It's royal blue, and it has a black and a red stripe weaved through it. And they presented this tie to me at Christmas, and I treasure it. As I've grown up in my thinking about ties, so God wants us to grow up in our thinking and mature in our attitude towards baptism. My friends, baptism is not something trivial. It's not some meaningless symbolic ceremony in our past. But baptism is real and daily forgiveness from God. And as such, baptism will always continue to have relevance to us and to our relationship with God. In fact, I have to tell you, I have only scratched the surface this morning in talking about what baptism is and what it does. And I hope you'll take time to go back to the scriptures and study the subject, and also to go to the small catechism. And if you do, it will be kind of like going deep into your closet and finding some favorite outfit that you had forgot you had. And so I encourage you to wear your baptism. Live in it, and you will live in Christ, and Christ will live in you. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.